Hello, everyone, and welcome to day number 8, where we are continuing to reflect upon St. Alphonsus' Lenten reflections. Let's just get right into it. This is what stood out to us.
St. Augustine says that the devil deceives men in two ways, by despair and by hope. After the sinner has sinned, he tempts him to despair through terror of divine justice. But before he sins, he encourages him to it by the hope of divine mercy. Therefore, does the saint thus counsel everyone? After sin, hope and mercy. Before sin, fear judgment. Yeah, I feel like this really stood out to me because this is exactly kind of how I work. When I was, kind of in my early young adult life, I'd be like, oh, I'll just get to confession later. I knew that God's mercy was awaiting me, so I could go ahead and sin, and then I'll get his mercy later.
So this quote also stood out to me because here we have a perfect example of virtue in the middle. And St. Alphonsus is saying we don't want to despair when we fall into sin. Right. And when we despair, we're really telling God, our sin is too big for his mercy. I can't be forgiven. And so in one sense, that's also pride. And we're not trusting in his love and his mercy. So the devil will get us to despair once we've fallen. But after we've received forgiveness, then we are led to this hope of, well, mercy is right around the corner if I fall again. And then we led into this presumption, well, God will forgive me. And so I think what the saint is asking us is to be in the middle. And that line, I think, really, really is perfect. After sin, hope and mercy. Before sin, fear judgment.
And again, St. Alphonsus always brings it back to Mary and says, Mary, thou art my hope. And I just think, yes, Mary, you are my hope. And I'm so glad I'm consecrated to Jesus through her.
Somebody said, well, why is Mary our hope? Mary is a great advocate. Again, if you read The Glories of Mary, what a great book. So many different ways he explains. He has a whole chapter on just Mary as our hope. Can you imagine if you're standing before a judge and about to be sentenced? Who would you choose for your advocate? Would you choose an enemy of the judge? No, you wouldn't. You maybe would choose a friend of the judge. But can you go one better? What if you stood before your sentence and you were guilty of something? You didn't choose an enemy of the judge or a friend, but you chose the mother of the judge. And the mother of the judge goes on your behalf to the judge and doesn't present your requests and an appeal on your behalf as though you're a stranger, but appeals to the judge as though now you are one of hers. You are an adopted son and daughter. This is Mary and our hope, because she intercedes for us and Jesus sees her requests as though they are hers. So we have hope in her intercession, not as the source of her as our salvation.
So lastly for myself, there's another quote from St. Jerome, that it is better to take always a reasonable quantity of food than to fast sometimes and afterwards to commit excess. And this is something that I've noticed in my own life, where I can go for periods of time where, you know, I'll choose to, you know, decrease the amount of food just, you know, for fasting purposes, and then knowingly that I will gorge myself later. And that's basically, that's really counterproductive, and it doesn't really build virtue. Would you say?
I'm not going to judge you. I have enough problems of my own, but yeah, we need self-control. Yeah. Sometimes there's this whole movement in the fitness of intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
And there's something called one meal a day. And I've seen people make the comment where they like it because then they can eat as much as they want when they have that one meal a day without worrying about calories or what they're going to eat. They just gorge. Well, there is no virtue in that. There's no self-control. Virtue's always in the middle. So if our fasting is leading us to gorge later on, it's probably better to adjust some things.
Thank you for rounding that out for me.
My last thought. He began to be heavy. He began to feel a great weariness on the account of the torments that were prepared for him. When one is weary, even pleasures are painful. So here we have Jesus going into the garden. And that line, he began to be heavy. Do you feel heavy this Lent? I do. I've been feeling heavy for a while. And it's not fun. I've been struggling. And just what do the torments of the future look like? Like, Jesus has the crucifixion. What do we have? Well, COVID. What is it going to look like 6 months from now, a year from now? I don't know. I look at my speaking ministry. I traveled for 20 years. I don't know if I'm going to go back on the road. And so that weighs on my mind. I'm thinking about international travel back into the United States. And all this talk about passport vaccines, I don't know if I'm into that. And then I look, how do we provide for our family? So he began to be heavy. And I feel this is my Lent. This has been my last year in some respects. But when I look at Jesus, I do find my hope because he began to feel heavy for us, but he also conquered that heaviness. Mm-hmm. So we're not in Easter yet. So I will just entrust myself to Our Lady to bring my heaviness to Jesus. Anyways, those are my thoughts. Not too encouraging, but you're journeying with us. We don't That's come right. as perfection.
We just come as we are.
We come as we are. Mm-hmm. So please pray along with us. The rosary will be right up there. Comment below your thoughts and share this video if you've been blessed. Thanks, guys.